Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
Don't have to think about it. It's right here, right now. And Super Bowl Sunday, right around the corner.
Let's go Rams.
Let's go Rams?
Yeah.
But yesterday you bet the Patriots.
Doesn't mean I'm pulling for the Patriots.
So what are you going to be pulling for during the game? Serving me coffee for a week on the house?
That'd be two weeks.
That's two weeks. Oh, thank you for that reminder.
I'm an honest guy, Zach. I mean, I'm not going to try to screw you over here. Yeah, 2 weeks. Look, I'll do it. If the Rams win, I'll be happy to do that.
Talk to me day four. How happy you are.
Okay. I'd love to try that and see if I'm still happy about the Rams winning.
As the days have gone on here, I'm getting more and more excited for the game.
And you just finished your 2 weeks of coffee.
Mission complete.
I'm not really all that excited for the game. I don't know.
Really?
Just tired. Maybe it's because I'm tired of the Patriots.
Well, so you should be anxious to see them get beat then.
I hope they get beat. But if they win, I just want to see somebody else. I'd love to see Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes. That would have got me excited. I'm wondering if a lot of people feel the same way I do. Hit us up, RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Are you kind of tired of seeing the Patriots? Is it not do it for you like maybe previous Super Bowls? I'm interested to see that because for me, I don't, like, oh, the Super Bowl Sunday. It's not a big deal right now for me.
Sunday morning, you're going to be up for it. Sunday morning, you're going to be up for it. And you just saw the Patriots.
You don't know what I'm going to be up for.
You're going to be up for it. You're going to be up for it. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl, Brandon Stokely.
I realize it. I realize it's a Super Bowl.
We just saw Brady get beat last year.
Yeah.
They've never lost back-to-back Super Bowls. They've never won back-to-back Super Bowls. Oh, yes, they have. Yes, they have. They're the last team that did it, I guess, probably about a
long time ago.
15 years ago almost now? That was early 2000s, right? Like 03, 04 era?
Right when I was in Indy. Around there. I think they won 3 out of 4.
They did, and they're still on a nice run.
Yeah.
What we're seeing here, and it's been exhausted, the conversation, because we've been having it for about a decade here.
I'm ready for it to be over. I can't lie. I've been ready for it to be over. That's just the truth. So, but you got to – I give them a lot of credit. I mean, what they've been able to do is impressive. I mean, it is. I don't know if you will never see anything like this.
Never.
You will never see anything like this. To be able to go on this type of run for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And be as consistent and play at the level that you played at for that long of an extended period of time. Consistency in the NFL, that's tough to do. So you will never see that again. And I feel very safe to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Never, ever. And so, in that regard, you take a step back and it is impressive, but it doesn't mean that I like it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or that I want to watch it or that I enjoy seeing it. I'm ready for it to be over.
Is this it? Do you think this is the final chapter? And I feel foolish asking this because you could ask it realistically the last 7-8 years.
I don't. And this year, they've been very fortunate with injuries. They've been a really healthy football team. From top to bottom. And they've had years where they haven't. But this year, they've been really healthy. And I knew going into the playoffs, it would be tough to deal with because of that. That plays a big part in your success throughout the course of the season, obviously, but also in the playoffs. Are you a healthy football team? I mean, who have they lost? You know, they lost their first-round pick from Georgia, that offensive lineman, early in preseason.
That's right.
To, I think, Achilles. But other than that, you know, Sony Michel was back and forth early on, but obviously he's healthy. I mean, who have they lost to injury? You can't really think of anybody. They up front, I think they've been really healthy offensive line-wise, and so that plays a big part in it.
And they played without Nate Solder for the first time in years this year. Didn't miss a beat.
Well, they traded, San Francisco traded a pretty good left tackle to him, Trent Brown, and he's been healthy and he's played at a high level. So they kind of got bailed out by, I don't know if it was a do-right deal. You know, give us that do-right deal we gave you, Jimmy. We gave you Jimmy Garoppolo. How about that left tackle?
That's true.
Y'all just drafted McGlinchey from Notre Dame. You want him to play left tackle? Give us that guy. So he's worked out well for him, but it's impressive the run that they've been on. But I'm ready for turn the page.
Well, I think you speak for a large percentage of the NFL community. But I will say this, and we have seen this time and time and time again. People will say, and I'm not isolating you here, Stoke, but people will say, I'm sick and tired of the Patriots. Just like people will say, I'm sick and tired of Duke basketball, or I'm sick and tired of the Yankees, or I'm sick and tired of the Lakers. But those teams consistently draw the most eyeballs. We say we love parity, but history has proven statistically that we have a tendency to gravitate towards, what we know the best, even if it's sort of in spite of how you feel about that team.
It's like in basketball. Look, Golden State at first was like, okay, I love watching this team. They're great, but now I'm tired of Golden State. I don't have the hatred that I have towards the Patriots, but it's like, okay, I'm ready for something new, something else.
Fatigue.
Yeah. I'm ready to see somebody else go out there. And obviously, it was nice watching Cleveland upset them the way that they did. And so that was obviously very entertaining, but now I'm ready. I'm hoping Durant and Klay Thompson leaves, and it's more, I want to feel like more teams have a chance. And right now, I don't feel like that. So to me, it takes something away from it. Now, do I like watching them play? Yeah. Look, they're great, and they play it the right way. And just like the Patriots, they are really good at what they do, and they're very creative, and they stay ahead of the curve, and they're changing, they're evolving, and they're not stuck in one system and doing the same things over and over. So they're always trying to look at different ways to get better, and you got to appreciate that.
Sure.
But Golden State, it's like, it's just, okay, they're going to win it again this year, right? I mean, and they have been down, but at the same time, just like when the Patriots are down, I'm still telling everybody the same thing. Can't count those guys out.
Heck no.
Golden State, look, they've been in the finals how many years in a row?
Ooh,
Is it four?
Four consecutively. They've won three.
So the regular season, they don't need to get up for that.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
Doesn't matter if they're the one or two seed. Really
no.
Doesn't. So they'll be ready to play in the playoffs, and they'll be playing at their best. And you can say, well, this guy's, look at these two guys going at it, Draymond and Kevin Durant, they're not on the same page. But when it gets time to really get serious, they'll be fine. Just like the Patriots. They'll have their lumps sometimes during the regular season. People will count them out. But playoff time comes. If they have a bye, and if they have a home game, which they did, and they can find a way to win one on the road like they did, they're going to be back in it.
Crazy. Crazy that we're here again. Crazy that we're here again. And we will talk more about this game a little bit later in the show, Stoke. But first, yesterday we had a war room live from Atlanta.
Baby war room.
Baby war room. Yes.
The big boys weren't involved.
Correct.
The heavy hitters weren't involved.
Correct. We invented the war room.
That's right.
Okay, now that that's
established.
We are
the war room. We need to call that something else. Let's come up with another name for that. That wasn't a war room.
No, it was only four people.
Right. War room, we got to be involved. So we need to come up with another name for what they did yesterday. A little get-together. A little get-together.
D-Mac asked a simple question to Big Al, to Stink, and to Mike Evans. John Elway is a blank GM.
Ooh.
I want you to fill in that blank next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming, and parties don't stop till.
Wow, I haven't heard this in easily a decade.
It's Atlanta Day.
We're going all Atlanta artists today.
Yeah, ATL
I
Day.
Love it.
Nice little sprinkle there from Steve.
Jermaine Dupree.
Yeah, we'll have some Luda.
Do you remember?
We'll have some T.I.
T.I.
Outkast.
Ooh. Ooh,
Little John and the
Yang Twins.
Oh, is that who it is? Okay. Yeah, we'll have them. We got to get a little country. Do we have any country artists from? Are they from Atlanta? Oh yeah, then perfect. Oh, make sure you get some of that.
They're coming. They're coming around here.
I just heard that this morning. Listen to KYGO, and heard they're coming to Coors Field.
They are.
I will be there if I'm in town. Looking forward to that.
Zach Brown Band is from Atlanta. Atlanta, GA. I love it. Great idea, Stephen. Do you remember the record company that Jermaine Dupri was like front and center of?
Oh, goodness.
He used to say it like I every other.
No.
So Def.
Oh.
Remember that?
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that was their record label.
Bringing up Lil Bow Wow. My goodness. All right. In yesterday's tea party that they had, because it was not a war room, because we were not involved, so they had a tea party.
I like to think of it more of as a book club.
Oh.
Book club.
The book club.
That's the one I came up with.
All right.
A book club for those guys. Real cute little book club that
the
they
book
had
of the
yesterday.
Month.
Yeah.
Well, during the course of conversation at the book club tea party, D-Mac asked a simple question. It comes with a little bit trickier of an answer. He said, John Elway is a blank GM. And before I get your answer, I want to encourage our listeners as well. If you want to fill in that blank, we're curious to see what you guys or how you guys would answer that question. So hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. John Elway is a blank general manager.
This is a tough one for me because under his watch, they've been to two Super Bowls.
They have.
And what has been, when did he take over?
2011?
2011 was his first year, so it's less than 10 years. 2010, 2011, 2011, yeah. So it's been less than 10 years, and you've gone to two Super Bowls. So, you know, how much credit does he get for that? How much does he not get for that? Then you look at the drafts. You know, that's a positive, two Super Bowls. So I'm trying to go through this.
Yeah.
And talk about it out loud. Okay, so you got the two Super Bowl appearances, right? And you won one of them.
Which is the best you could ever do at that position. That is the pinnacle of that position.
Right, and you're pretty much leading the charge, okay? But then the negatives are, okay, you haven't been able to find a quarterback since Peyton Manning. You've been the head of the ship whenever you've had two of the worst seasons in the history of the Denver Broncos in back-to-back years. You're the one that hired Vance Joseph to lead that charge, and he was ahead of the head coach of those two football seasons, historic bad seasons for the Denver Broncos. You haven't drafted well at all. Your drafts have been really, really bad, and that was part of the reasoning why. It wasn't all on Vance Joseph. That's part of the reasoning why that you had those 2 years, the last 2 years.
The Broncos are the last team in the NFL to not draft an offensive Pro Bowler. It was them and the Colts, and they drafted Quentin Nelson. He's in the Pro Bowl.
You don't get. Oh, he didn't draft.
Did not draft Philip. He drafted you.
Right. Right. So, you know.
I mean, think about that for a second. There's only one team. The last team that has drafted an offensive Pro Bowler is the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
I mean, that tells you a lot. You look at the inability to find a quarterback, and that's a big negative. So, give me the question again.
John Elway is a blank GM. This is the ultimate, and I'll let you stall for a second. By the way.
I'm not trying to stall.
Well, you're thinking.
I don't want to just rush to judgment here.
No, I got you. This scenario is the ultimate. You know, what is the one phrase I say probably more than any other?
Like the two things can be true at once thing that you always say.
This is the definition of that. You have a guy that went to the pinnacle of the sport, that people were calling him he was a better, I remember this headline or narrative, that he was a better general manager than he ever was a quarterback. He was a Hall of Fame general manager in addition to a Hall of Fame player. He did it. He did it all. But then there's this other side of the coin that is also simultaneously true.
And that's what makes it so hard. I think when you first say, I think a lot of people say awful. That's your first thought here, because what's happened recently? Like, what's been brought to light recently? How bad his drafts have been? His inability to find a quarterback. So your first thought when you hear that is an awful GM. It's been awful because you're thinking about the last 2 years. But if you go back from the start and you realize, okay, it's been two Super Bowls under his watch, winning one Super Bowl, you got to give him credit for that. The signing of Aqib, the signing of a TJ Ward, the signing of DeMarcus Ware. He's got to get credit for those things. The drafting of, Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe, a big part of the Super Bowl teams. Mm-hmm. But then he also got to take a lot of blame for what's going on here lately. Average GM?
Because you have really, 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 really great, and then you have like really, 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 really bad.
And we could be in the midst of, some dark times here. If you can't find a quarterback. So I think, obviously, the book is still being written. And the answer will show itself here when John is done. And then you can evaluate this whole body of work. Right? It's just like a quarterback like Peyton Manning. Everybody was talking about him after 4 or 5 years, 6 years, and saying, you hadn't won a Super Bowl. You hadn't won a playoff game after 4 years. This and he's like, well, let me just finish my career, and then you can critique it as much as you want.
Right.
But it's a little bit unfair to do it now. And I think the same thing can be said about John in this regard, because, yes, it was great. You won a Super Bowl, went to another one, and it's been really bad the last couple of years. Well, let's see if he can dig us out of it. But as we sit right now, I say maybe a little bit above average, because you did win a Super Bowl, which you have to, say, that's a big, big check mark there. And now if you can find us a quarterback and get this thing going back in the right direction, it could be great. But I think right now I would say above average, because I weigh that Super Bowls, those two Super Bowls, and I weigh winning one. And you were a big part of that, obviously. You were the general manager during those Super Bowls. What do you have?
I think there's two components.
Are you agreeing or disagreeing here? I can't tell with that look on your face. It's got me befuddled a little bit here. I don't know what's going on with that look. Sometimes I can tell right away, like, you disagree or you agree, but you're showing me nothing. You got that poker face on.
The Super Bowl should weigh the heaviest. That's like the 45-pound plate. It's the heaviest in the gym.
Those are the ones you throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, boom, boom. Put a couple more on there. Lightweight. Easy. Help, help.
You're right.
I shouldn't have helped so quick. That's my one regret, is I helped too quick on the help. I should have let you suffer a little bit. I just should have. I was too nice.
You wouldn't have had the strength to pull it off my chest, though.
No, trust me. I'd one-handed that thing off your chest, bro. Come on.
That is the heaviest weight. The Super Bowl is the heaviest weight.
It wouldn't have gone on your neck. It was like on your chest. You'd have been fine for a few seconds. Maybe a bruised rib or something. I mean, it'd be okay.
But you combine two other things. You combine two other plates, and it may outweigh that. And I'll explain what I mean next.
Every morning when you come downstairs, here's a mess, but I don't care. Wake up on shining so bright.
Now we're talking.
My old sweatshirt never fits so right.
Here we go.
Dancing around to the radio.
Can't wait for Zach Brown Band. Woo! Good job, Steven.
Coors Field this summer?
Yes.
Should be a rip-roaring time.
Yeah, it's like a full day.
Sure. Block it out.
Clear the calendar for the next day.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah,
one of those.
It's an investment.
Yep.
It's an investment.
Yep.
You and I were just having the conversation based off the question that our own Darren McKee asked yesterday at the tea party in the afternoon. John Elway is a blank GM.
Tea party.
And you...
Who was involved in that tea party? Let's break. Who was it?
It was the four horsemen there. It was Big Al, it was D-Mac, it was Mike, and it was Mark.
That's why you suck.
Perfect. Okay.
So they D-Mac asked the question, and words like optimistic, that was Big Al's description.
Optimistic, GM.
And D-Mac tried to give him a little pushback on that. Like, so you're really saying what Mark initially said, he said delusional.
Whoa. And then Mark.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he walked it back a little bit.
Trying to backtrack.
I think he may.
Flip-flopper.
He may even rephrased it, but his initial reaction was delusional. Big Al said optimistic. There was another one there, and I forget exactly what Evan said, but you said average, been an average GM, but the reason that you got to the word average is not that it has been average the whole time. It's been really, really good peak pinnacle of the sport, and then it's the first back-to-back losing seasons in 50 years.
More blowouts a couple years ago than any team that season.
Correct. 5-11. Longest losing streak in 50 years as well.
Yeah. Eight-gamer?
Eight-gamer.
God, that's hard to even imagine. Like, saying that is like, no way.
Oh, wait. We were here.
Right.
That was painful. Hard of a season to get through as
that was
any
painful.
Other.
Painful.
And again, it wasn't just loss. Like, we only won one more game this year, but the way that it came about, you weren't in the garage sweeping the corners.
Right.
2017, you were changing light bulbs that didn't need changing.
Yep. Well, yeah.
During dusting, the second half of Broncos games.
Mopping, cleaning, you know, things that were already cleaned. I'm out. What do you got for me to do, babe? I'm ready. But this year, it was more competitive.
It
right?
was.
I mean,
it
you're
was.
Absolutely right. A lot more competitive. They were in football games. They didn't finish all football games, and they only won one more game, but it was a lot more enjoyable to watch. Let's just put it that way.
Sure. It gave you the gut punch at the end, not in the first quarter.
Right. Gave you a little swift kick to the, you know what, right. Late, not early.
But this is what makes
fourth
this.
Fourth and one, or we're going to kick the field goal? Whack.
From okay. The six? Okay.
Oh, perfect. At least it's fourth quarter.
But
right?
This is what makes this unusual here. Because it hasn't been mediocre. It's been a stark contrast of both ends of the spectrum. Parade, confetti, champagne.
Popping bottles.
And then you have, I have to sleep on firing my first year head coach just 3 years after the fact.
Yeah.
So this is tough. I will say my description for John Elway as a GM, struggling.
Oh, that's good. I like how you did that. I tried to put it all together and bottle it up and look at, you know, before and after. Right now, he is struggling. And I think that's really good word to use to describe where we're at right now. But I think if you look at his overall, you know, like if John Elway retired right now, how would you categorize it? Because, yeah, he's struggling right now. But how would you look at the whole book?
But I don't know if one word can summarize that. Because, again, you have this crazy polar opposite contrast. Winning a Super Bowl and then back-to-back losing seasons. First time since 72, longest losing streak in 50 years. So what one word can...
It doesn't have to be one word, does it? I mean,
hot and cold, then. Hot and cold. You were able to get Peyton Manning here. That domino was able to get Aqib Talib here, get DeMarcus Ware here. That was scorching. That was scorching. Like that venti dark was when I ordered it for you this morning.
Good job.
Now, it's been freezing. You haven't drafted an offensive...
It does need to be warmed up.
Well, let's go zap it then. Start that thing on fire.
That microwave we have. Oof.
I don't think it's about the microwave. I think on the cup it says in bold capital letters, do not microwave. And what has been happening here is you throw your coffee, and just to give people context, okay, throw your coffee in the microwave... It will literally start to smoke with a burnt, it like at the bottom as if you
at
put
the very
a
bottom.
Flame to it.
Right. It turns black. The other microwave didn't do it. See, you weren't zapping your, you weren't microwaving your coffee back then.
I was not.
I've You've rubbed off on you.
Yes, you right? have.
And I like that.
Not necessarily
right?
a good thing.
Yes, it is a good thing. It is a good thing for you. But the old microwave didn't do it, but it broke down a couple months ago. And this new one that we got is not better. It's not better, but it's for some reason now, I don't know what that's doing. So, yeah, I am concerned.
I mean, it literally smokes like a campfire.
Right. We're probably taking, you know, a year or two off our life.
Maybe
by
so.
Putting it in that microwave.
Maybe so.
But it's okay. I don't know. I look at it and if it ended today, I think I would say average because of what you said. You got that greatness and then you have awfulness. And then so what does that do? It equals each other out, right? And so you're kind of right in the middle of the road. You can't ignore the awful, can't draft anybody, haven't found anybody, haven't found a quarterback, and you can't ignore the greatness. Two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl championship. So I think just average would sum it up for me right now.
So you hit on something that I wanted to get into, and as we went into to break, we were equating it to like plates at the gym. The 45-pound plate, and someone's telling me, you know, the 100-pound plate is the heaviest at the gym. I don't know what gym you're going to. I've never been to a gym with 100-pound plates. I mean, 45-pound plates is typically, is there 100-pound plates? Yeah, I'm sure there is.
But you're not lifting them.
That'd be 100.
You've never seen them. That'd be 245.
In my heyday, I could beat it once. 265 was the most I ever benched my freshman year of college. What about you? Was your shoulder already jacked by that point? Or
yeah, I mean, I could do I think around 315 ish, somewhere around there.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I said going into break, the 45-pound plate. Let's just assume that's the most. At the gym is the heaviest, okay? That's the Super Bowl for John Elway. But there's two other plates there that may not be as valued or as heavy as that Super Bowl / 45-pound plate, but you put them together and it might. What is the number one responsibility for a general manager, not from a team goal perspective, because you could say win a Super Bowl and he did that, but from a accomplishment standpoint in terms of what you're hired to do. What are the two things at the top of a list for a general manager?
Well, I mean, you took one away from me. I mean, to me, like, if I'm the general manager and I got hired as that for a football team, it's to win a Super Bowl. That's first and foremost. It's to deliver a championship to that city.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
Let's just go with that. It's sort of mixing what I was having in my head, but just go with that. What would be the second responsibility?
You know, set your team up, be a consistent winner. And obviously like leave the place better than where you found it. I think those would be the three major things is winning the Super Bowl, being a consistent winner and leaving the place better than when you took over, whenever you decide to leave.
Okay.
You got any more?
Yeah, no, this isn't going how I thought it was. I want to hear what you're thinking.
Okay.
I want to hear what you're thinking. When I think of the responsibility of a GM from not a goal standpoint, because the goal for every GM is to win a Super Bowl. That's the end game, right? But more specifically, it's in my mind, find the right coach, find the right quarterback. And if you do those things, you do get to compete on an every year basis. And those, to me, does it outweigh the 45-pound plate, a Super Bowl, one unto itself? No. But if you continue to whiff on both of those things, that's like adding up two 35-pound plates. And John has not been able to get those things right. We're on the fourth head coach, right, in what, 6 years? And the soon-to-be fifth quarterback? Here in the last 4 years, they've tried to do it. John has tried to do it with the first-round guy. He's tried to do it with a second-round guy. He's tried to do it with a late-round guy. Tried to do it with a free agent. And when you whiff or foul off that many times, there's a cumulative effect that I can appreciate what he did winning a Super Bowl. But what if we thought about this in terms of like a quarterback? If a quarterback, a player wins a Super Bowl, does he have lifetime immunity?
Oh, no. We're not giving. I'm not saying we're giving him, you know, we're not going to be critical of bad moves and bad decisions because we have. It's not that at all. But you have to weigh those things when you look at the whole body of work. And if you're looking at him as a GM, you have to give him credit for that. Now, it's not the end all be all. It doesn't mean he's a great general manager just because, you know, he did those things and was a part of that, those accomplishments, right? I mean, that doesn't mean that at all. So I think you got to take the whole body of work. And that's why I said average, because you've had some bad, bad times and you haven't been able to find your quarterback. And but on top of it, you've had some good times. So sure. To me, they kind of equal each other out, and you're right in the middle. And but the good thing is, OK, you still get to write that final chapter here. Let's see what it looks like. Let's see if you can bounce back.
Yep.
And if you're able to bounce back, then you kind of forget these last few years. Like, okay, like he got this thing back going on the right track. Found us a quarterback. Now we're contenders again. Who cares about those 2 years? That's the way we'll look at it in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. If things start going back in the right direction, you have another great draft this year, you find your quarterback, you got your head coach, and okay, all is forgotten about those couple rough years. But if you don't, now, you know, you're... The average is below average.
Right. The narrative takes a turn.
And also, it's like, you know, we talk about it a lot, and I say it a lot. Like, if you're a head coach, what would you rather do, win early or win late?
You want to win late.
John won early.
Right.
So, like, if he had the first couple years were rough, and then you got it going like you did with Peyton Manning, we would be talking a lot different now.
Right. He fixed it.
Right.
I think of Joe Flacco, and I think Joe Flacco might be the appropriate quarterback player example to compare, like, the same sort of trajectory of John.
Really?
Where not exactly, but just sort of follow me here for a second. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens, right?
Yep.
He reached the pinnacle of the sport. Not only did he win it, he was brilliant. He didn't turn the football over in the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know it's just a sore subject.
No, it's fine. I'm over it.
So he did all there is to do. This guy was Super Bowl MVP.
Keep going.
That buys you.
We find somebody else.
That buys you a lot. That may buy you a half a decade, like it did with Joe. Because you can always say, I've seen him do it, and we got a shot with Joe Flacco, because you can't tell me. I'm not projecting. I've already seen it. So trust in this guy. Trust in him. But how many links is in that chain? And you get to 5, 6 years after the fact, and it's just sort of status quo, and you haven't been where the Ravens had been for 3 straight years missing the playoffs. You now start to say, you know what? We appreciate what you did, and you're always going to live here as a legend, but we may need to try to take a look at Lamar Jackson, because, boy, we need a spark. And that equity that you had, we'll appreciate it forever, but it's not going to carry you 6 years after the fact.
No, that's good. I look at John, and I would be right there with John, just like you're talking about Joe Flacco and the Ravens right now, if not for one thing.
You'd be right there with John in terms of how
the Ravens are feeling about Joe Flacco.
Got it.
Just how you use that analogy. I would be right with the Ravens. Like, I'm ready to move on from you, John Elway, as a general manager. If it wasn't for one thing, what's that one thing, Zach?
This past year's draft.
There you go. Because I have optimism now.
Yeah.
Okay? And I have a lot more confidence that you figured it out. And that, you know, you figure this draft thing out, and we're going to be able to put back-to-back good drafts together. So you got this thing back on the right track. It would be like if Joe Flacco had 3 or 4 down years, and all of a sudden in that fifth year, right, he got you back to the playoffs and back to the AFC Championship game. Like, okay, all right, I can have optimism. You still got it, Joe Flacco. And same thing for John Elway. I feel a lot better about where he's at as a general manager right now than I did last year because of the draft. Now you got to keep doing it. You got to do it again next year.
Yeah.
To show it's not a fluke. It wasn't lucky. You know, you weren't doing auto draft like D-Max says, which is comical. But to me, when you look at John in last year's draft, now you say, okay, let's see if you can do it again. And also, at some point, you're going to have to find a quarterback.
The draft last year for John was sort of like, you know, when someone's like losing their life and they put the paddles to them? Clear! Boom! Just brings a bolt back into you. That's what the 2018 NFL draft was for the Broncos.
Yep. You had to have it. You had to. I mean, could you imagine if you had another lousy draft and those guys were the 2017 draft?
Oh, gosh.
Could you imagine? I can't even go there.
How many games would the Broncos have won without this past year's class?
They won six. You're talking about no Philip Lindsay. You're talking about...
Who wasn't really part of the draft, but we'll include him.
Just include him, right? Not part of the draft. Yep. No Bradley Chubb. Three. I really think that this draft class was worth three wins.
So you got 3-13.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Philip Lindsay was that good. He was that good. If we ran the football like we did the year before, we win three or four games. Philip Lindsay was a huge difference maker. I mean, you're talking about explosive plays that we weren't seeing, breaking tackles.
Yeah.
That was Philip Lindsay. So
but again, and I feel like a broken record.
I know it.
John didn't draft the best player.
Didn't John say I'd rather be lucky than good? Something like that?
He did.
Right? Okay, well, he was lucky.
Yeah.
Be lucky again. I really don't care.
Sure.
Okay.
By hook or by crook.
Right. Whatever it takes to get these guys on your roster. And if you don't draft them, if you screwed up enough to not draft them, well, you know what? You're fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I look at my career. I was just sometimes in the right place at the right time. I didn't do anything great, but... You still have to take that into consideration when you're looking at John. Yeah, he didn't draft Philip Lindsay. They passed on him. So did a lot of other teams. But you're fortunate that he grew up in Aurora.
Yeah.
Right down the road. And you're fortunate that his mom said, stay here. So, you know, you were lucky. But you got to take that into consideration. And hopefully we get lucky again with another guy like that. An undrafted guy. Or a late round guy.
Broncos have made a living throughout their history with those guys.
I mean, Patriots are very lucky that they drafted, you know, Tom Brady in the sixth round or whatever it was.
You cannot put that in the same sentence as something like we're talking about with Philip Lindsay.
But I'm just saying, they were very, very lucky that somebody didn't pick him in the fifth round.
Okay.
That he didn't go before that.
Okay.
Right? Because where would they be at? So you have to take that also and look at stuff like that. Well, you know, they didn't draft him early. Like, oh, they overdrafted this guy in the fourth round. No. You know, he fell to them in the sixth round. Now, they did take him, which you give him a lot of credit for, but also they're very fortunate that nobody else picked him. They're very lucky that Drew Bledsoe got his spleen, you know, knocked out of him by Mo Lewis. So
I love Drew Bledsoe.
So that made Tom Brady go in when he did. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at those things, and it is what it is. I mean, that's life. Sometimes luck is a big part of it, and obviously John Elway was really lucky that Philip Lindsay chose him, but he did, which was really nice. So you look at this class this past year, but there's still question marks with it, don't you think?
For sure.
But I'm projecting, and that's why I'm optimistic about it, because I'm projecting. But, you know, I keep on saying Deshaun Hamilton. You're like, whoa, 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 Deshaun Hamilton. A little bit, right?
Need to see more.
Right. And I'm like, I've seen enough to just be able to come to the conclusion that this guy will be able to do that.
I hope you're right.
But at the same time, I don't know that for sure. I played with a lot of guys that I expected from year one to year two to be a Deshaun Hamilton like I'm talking about and look like a different player and a much better and much improved player, and they have a lot of talent. They've never done it, and they just never did it. They kind of stayed the same or they got worse.
Right.
So, you know, Cortland Sutton's another guy. He had a nice year. We were expecting a little bit more.
He had a good year.
I don't want to say
he had a really good year, actually.
I don't want to say we were expecting more, because we were expecting about what he had, right?
Almost that, like within 100 yards before the season started, we pulled up rookie careers from guys that we all respect. And I asked you, whose career do you think he'll mirror in his whose rookie year do you think he'll mirror in his first year? And it was almost on the nose. But still, how much left is there to be desired with Cortland Sutton?
A ton. And so will he be able to go from where he is now to where we hope he's going to be? And that's what makes me optimistic about this draft class, is will these guys be able to go from where they are to where I'm expecting them to be? And it's easier said than done. And a guy like Cortland Sutton, who has all this potential, will he be making those plays consistently that we saw him make in training camp? Or will he be 50-50 or 30-70 like he was this year?
Yeah.
In games when it mattered, when he wasn't coming up with those catches.
A lot of balls went through his hands.
They did. They did. So, you know, we can project and be optimistic about this draft class, but at the same time, I mean, they got to take that step forward. Guy like Josie Jewell, we're hoping that he could be this nice fine and, you know, this nice linebacker that we found in the fourth round or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't great last year.
It wasn't great, no. But he got himself on the field.
He did.
That's the one positive about this rookie class. They were all on the field.
Right.
Outside of maybe Sam Jones.
Right.
They're all on the field. And that's a good thing. The ink is still dry on this conversation about John. Or excuse me, the ink is still wet with this conversation. Like you said, the book is still being written. And I'm not passing down judgment or some indictment. But I think it is very fair to be critical. And I'll be watching this draft class maybe more closely than any other class that John's had, because we see strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Gary's in the mix. Terrific class. And then now he's not here anymore. So do we revert back or do we?
Was it luck or, you know, like if, you know, the same, like if you do it, if you can back it up, then it's skill.
Sure.
You know, that's why in horse, you know, sometimes you play, you got to make that next one. After you make it, that guy misses, you got to make the next one, right? Just to prove that, hey, it wasn't luck. Okay, and so the same thing with this draft. Was it just luck? Sometimes you just luck into guys, and you're lucky that you got the right guys. And especially when you've done what you've done, and then all of a sudden you get it right, can you follow it up? Back-to-back ain't cheating.
Follow it up.
That's it.
There's like an H-O-R-S on the board for me. Finish it up. You took a letter up, finish it up. Back it up. I like it. Shout out to our friends at Twin Peaks who are sponsoring our coverage of Sunday's game. They've been a terrific support to the show, so we appreciate those guys. All right, that is one thing for sure. You would never beat me in as horse. Never, ever, ever, ever.
Like, why not? What would you be doing, like dunks and stuff?
No.
Are you that type of guy?
No, jumping up and doing all this stuff because I'm
on the ground. Right. You're talking about just squaring up and shooting.
Just squaring up. We can do our feet totally on the ground.
What about if we go to David Buster's and we get on that little goal, that big goal?
Yeah, you no.
Can I beat you on that one?
We're not talking about little goals and
no. It's a big goal. This is a big. This is a big boy. Like it's a big boy.
Rims like at the fair.
Oh no! They were fine for me. They were going right in.
Big.
But on a normal goal, I could never beat you. Out of 10 times in a game of what horse? How many times could I beat you? Zero.
Zero. You might get one. You might get one.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about that.
Big Al, this is very interesting. I want to bounce this off you. He's got his guy.
I'd get three.
Big Al has his guy, and I want to know what you think of his plan.
Look at this follow through.
And you'll hear it from the big fella next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.